sessions, we've been doing a lot of just overview. And what I'd like to do now, at least for a while, is to actually go over, at least outside, although I'll tell you where you can get it inside, you can read it yourself, some actual excerpts from Inyanim of the Maral. Now, I do want to tell you two problems in learning Maral. And the two problems in learning Maral are actually opposite problems. You're going to face two opposite problems. Sometimes the Maral's Yesodos have become so widely accepted that they are part of common knowledge. This is a problem with Sfarim. Sometimes you learn a certain Sefer and you say, like, you know, what's the point here? I mean, everybody knows this. Well, part of why everybody knows this is because the Maral kind of brought it in. So, for example, one of the things the Maral is Marichan over and over and over again is that Hashem's love for the Jewish people is unconditional. It's an Ava She'eino Tzoluya B'Davor. And in fact, he says very beautifully that is why he favors Akasha of the Rishayim. The Rishayim ask Akasha, the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra, that the miracle of war custom, right, before Avram, when Avram was a man, so Avram Avinu was Meister Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Nimrod basically said, after Avram broke the idols of Terach, so Nimrod basically said, you're going to be thrown into a Kipshon Oesh. And Haran, you know, played defense. Haran, who was Avram's brother, Sarah's father, said, well, I'll wait and see. If Avram is victorious, I'll also be on his side. And if he gets burnt, I'll go with Terach's side. And of course, Avram was victorious. Haran says, sure, I believe in Hashem too. He gets thrown and he gets burnt because he wasn't Moisir Nefesh. But this was a Gevaldika miracle. Now, the Torah doesn't mention this miracle. It's only Merumas indirectly when Hashem says, Ani Hashem, Asher Haitseisicha Meor Kastim. And that seems to be a place, but Chazal Darshan, that or means a furnace. So there's a remez to the miracle. But the miracle is not Beferish B'Torah. Why doesn't the Torah give the miracle of war custom? Now, some Rishayim give a teretz that since that wasn't al pi etzivoy, in other words, it was Avram's own decision, he wasn't meiser nefesh for a tzivoy of Hashem, so we don't count those miracles. Those are not miracles of a mitzvah v'yaisa. But the Maral says the following. It's a really interesting nekuda. If the Torah would have given you the miracle of war custom, and then it would be followed by Lech Lecha, the implication is that Avram Avinu was chosen because of his righteousness, because of his greatness, because of his goodness. Now, that actually is true. But the problem is this. If the Torah were to emphasize that, then that might imply that at whatever point Am Yisrael becomes unworthy, they no longer have the reason for Hashem's Bechira. Hashem will throw them away. God will divorce the Jewish people, as indeed the Nevi'im talk about all the time. Hashem will give a get. So the Maral says, the Torah, by not mentioning any reason, Lech Lecha is a mystery. If you just read the Chumash, and you don't know the background, Hashem says to Avram, when he's 75 years old, go to this land, go to this holy land that I'm going to show you, I will make you a great nation. Now, we have a whole backstory. We know Midrashim, we know everything. But if you're just reading the Chumash, and you want to know, why did Hashem appear to this 75-year-old guy and say, I'm going to make a covenant with you? The answer is, there is no reason at all that's given. Zakta Maral, on one hand, that's not emes. Of course there's a reason. But by not giving you a reason, it wants to indicate that Hashem's choice is unconditional. In other words, it's an Ava She'eino Tzoluya B'Davar, which means that even when Klal Yisrael is not worthy of being chosen. So this is a typical interpretive idea of the Maral, in which there is both a reason and there's not a reason. For Shteitzach, there's a reason. Hashem didn't just do a lottery and pick a name out of a hat. There is a reason, but the Torah wants to also emphasize that it's beyond the reason. Right? Now, the Maral, that itself is a beautiful word, but the Maral goes on and emphasizes and brings a lot of riots, and you know, when you're reading it, you say, well, we know this. Don't we hear this, like, don't we hear this in Yeshiva like a million times? So the answer is yes, but that's because the Maral was the one who taught it to us. It's like somebody says, you know, after they're reading Art Scroll, Gemara, Then they look in Rashi and they say, I don't know what Rashi's point here is. I mean, it's all in the translation anyway, right? You know, it's like, yeah, okay, but that's how they got the training. So one problem of the Maral is that sometimes you're going to be reading things that say, you know, everybody knows this, like, what's the point? But you have to remember that the Maral was the one, I'm not going to say Mechadesh because it's all Miyusad on Chazal, but the Maral was the one who took these Chazals and established it. So that's one problem you're going to have with Maral. And again, this is a lot of them. A lot of famous klasvarim are sometimes telling you things that you know because these were the svarim that made it part of Am Yisrael. Now, the other problem, of course, is the opposite, and that is the Maral also has numerous subtleties. The Maral style is repetitious, but all of the svarim point out that the way the Maral works is every time he repeats the idea, he always adds something else. In other words, it's a pedagogically good way of teaching in which, you know something, it's like layers. And then, okay, now that you know it, I'm going to tell you this and I'm going to add this little thing. So one has to be very, very attuned to the nuances and not get not get discouraged by the repetition. So there are issues in Maral, but again, it's MS, like, which is true for many Maral. The more that you read, the more ragil you get, so you get a certain sense of the style of the Mechaber. Did you want to say, Yehudi?
Yeah. Can I ask Kash on the board?
Yeah.
Is the Avot in a Tluy Vodavar, it's regarding Am Yisrael, it's regarding, because Avram was, at that point in time, it wasn't really clear what was going to happen. It's like, what is Maral exactly?
Well, he means like this. It's really referring to Klal Yisrael because Hashem said to Avram, "V'escha l'goy gadol," and since there is no time that is given for escha l'goy gadol, the bechira of Am Yisrael, which came through Avram, is an avashena tuliyah b'dover. Now, pishteitzach, of course, this does not mean there aren't going to be consequences. Obviously, there's galus and there's chorban and the teichicha. Again, avash and libidavar doesn't mean, just like we say, a parent's love is, you could say it's avash and libidavar, but part of that love is you discipline a child, right? That's, by the way, there's a cute story, you've heard of Nechama Leibowitz. Nechama Leibowitz was a religious woman who was a great teacher of Chumash, and her thing was, in the ninth, you don't hear about it too much in Ur Sameach, but she was actually a very religious woman, although obviously she was involved in more modern circles in different ways. But her brother is the famous or infamous Yishayahu Leibowitz, who's a whole other parsha. I don't want to get into that. But Nechama Leibowitz, she actually made her career by trying to teach Chumash to Chilonim, to people who were not that religious. In the army, she would actually send out, she would do questions that they would fill out, workbooks, and she would mark them and send back comments. Really, really, she reached thousands and thousands of people in the 1950s with this. So one of her ideas that she tried to bring across is that people sometimes confuse what the Chumash says and what the Midrashim say, and they're so sure that the Midrash is in the Chumash that they can't be mechalik between pshat and drush. So she was speaking to a bunch of soldiers, and she says, the example is Avram and Ur Kasten, or Avram bred the idols. It's not in the Chumash. So there was this gruff Chiloni general who said, "What do you mean it's not in the Chumash? You know, I'm not religious, but I learned this." So she gives him a Tanakh and says, "Okay, now find me where it is." So he's looking and he's looking and he's leaping and he's leaping. He says, "You know, you switch Chumash, give me the real Chumash here. It's not the real Chumash." You know. So she was making the point that indeed, and in fact, the emes is, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, had this taina with svarim like the Medrash says, which are very, very popular. Medrash says are summaries of Midrashim on the Parsha. And in many, many homes, many from homes, at least in America, that's kind of, instead of learning the Parsha, you know, people learn the Medrash says, even adults learn the Medrash says. And like kids grow up with like no chush of what is in the Chumash and what is in the Medrash, and it's all like mavolbol, and one is supposed to have a sense of these different dargas. So those are some problems in the Maral. In other words, sometimes it'll seem obvious, but it's obvious only because the Maral made it common currency. And then other times, of course, it's hard to understand. It's deep. and it's always kedai to, you know, one has to look it over many times and the like. So the sefer we're going to talk about today, and I'm actually going to give you a longer, I mean, actually, this is what I just said is from the Gur Aryeh, but I'm going to tell you a longer shtickle from the Gur Aryeh. Is Gur Aryeh is the Maral's Peirush on Rashi al HaTorah. And Gur Aryeh was the first sefer the Maral published. It was published in his lifetime. Some of the Svarim were not published until after the Maral died. But L'chaira, it's Mukhrach, that although Gur Aryeh was the first sefer that he published, it was not the first sefer that he wrote, because in the Gur Aryeh, he will often give you Mara Makim to Gevuras Hashem or Tveras Yisrael. So Gur Aryeh is not the first sefer that he wrote, although it's the first sefer that was printed. Gur Aryeh is also the only sefer of the Maral that is a direct reference to his name, because his name was Yehuda, and Gur Aryeh was, in Yaakov Avinu's blessing, Gur Aryeh, a young lion, is Yehuda, so there's a remez to Malchus Beis David. It is a perish on Rashi. Now it's important to know, you know, all of us know in a Mikros Gedalos, we have a perish on Rashi called Sifsei Chachamim. But Sifsei Chachamim is Beikar, an anthology of earlier Meforshim on Rashi. Now the greatest perish on Rashi, the one that is most extensive, is the perish of Rabbi Elio Mizrahi, who was not a Dati Liumi or a founder of Mizrahi. He was he was the Dayan in Constantinople, in Turkey, in the 1500s, right below the Maral. I'm not sure if their lives overlapped or not, but the Mizrahi, he's called the Mizrahi. He's also called the Ram, Reish Aleph Mem. But you have to be a little careful here, because there are two Rishonim, or well, the Mizrahi is an early Acharon, but there are two great authorities that go with the abbreviation Ram. One is Rabbi Elio Mizrahi, and one is Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. That's the Sefer Yerayim. Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz is a Rishon, and is actually one of the Balei HaTaisus. Rabbi Elio Mizrahi is an Acharon, early Acharon, and there. So usually in the Yonim of Halacha, the Ram means Eliezer Mimitz, but sometimes not. Rabbi Elio Mizrahi also has Shilas and Chuvas. Now, if you ever looked at the Mizrahi, it's called, and actually there is a sefer that prints the Gur Aryeh and the Mizrahi together, as well as the Levush and the Sifsei Chachamim. These are four great Pirushim and Rashi. It's important to understand what the Mizrahi does. The Mizrahi is really a phenomenal sefer. The Prima Gadim was asked, you know, again, I'm sorry, I'm digressing with different things coming from, you know, the Prima Gadim, his job, he had a parnassa. The Prima Gadim's parnassa was he was a Malame Tinaikas. He taught young children. I'm not sure exactly what age, but, you know, he taught like he was a Cheder Rebbe. The Prima Gadim in the Hakdamas to the Prima Gadim, you actually see certain letters that they published about diktuk and about, you know, kind of things that are not connected to halacha, but about teaching. How do you teach Tanakh? How do you translate different words and the like? So he was asked by somebody, if a person, let's say, knows how to learn, but you want to take a lima that will give you yediyas hatayra, you just acquire a lot of fundamental yediyas hatayra, what sefer would be optimal to just get yediyas hatayra? So he said the Sefer HaMizrahi on Rashi. Because what the Sefer HaMizrahi does is, he doesn't only explain Rashi, like Sifsei Chachamim, but if Rashi brings a Medrash, or Rashi brings a Gemara, he will go into that Gemara, go into that Medrash, explain the Medrash, explain how Rashi understands the Medrash. Every Machlokes Rashi and Ramban, the Mizrahi is going to be Miyasha, because the Ramban asks Kashas on Rashi and says something else. The Mizrahi on Chumash is like the Pnei Yoshua on Shas, right? What was one of the Pnei Yoshua's goals? To answer Rashi from Taisus Kasha. One of the Mizrahi's goals is to be Miyashiv Rashi primarily from the Kashas of the Ramban. So it's Mamash, a very, very good limut in terms of giving you the Gemaras, the Midrashim, and if Rashi only brings one Medrash that expresses only one Mandi Amar, the Rashi will bring you, you know, the other Mandi Amar, and then we'll tell you, if it's a Machlokas, sometimes Rashi brings the Machlokas, but if it's a Machlokas and Rashi only brings one Mandi Amar, why did Rashi bring only one Mandi Amar? Now, the Gur Aryeh was written by the Maral a relatively short time after the Mizrahi, and in point of fact, the Guri Aryeh either quotes the Mizrahi, or even if he doesn't quote it, he brings what the Mizrahi says 95% of the time, and is often chaylik on it, meaning to say, kishem, that right, the Mizrahi addresses the Machloksim, Rashi and the Ramban, the Guri Aryeh will often be chaylik on the Mizrahi in terms of both explaining Rashi, and maybe even more so, in being masber the midrashim differently. See, that's a separate thing. That's, in other words, that's not necessarily a machlokes in Rashi. Because Rashi brings a medrash. So the Guri Aryeh will say the pshat in the medrash is this. The Mizrahi will say the pshat in the medrash is this. That's not really a machlokes in Rashi per se. It's ultimately a machlokes how to understand, the Chazal. But it is important that the Guri Aryeh, to some degree, and Rav Hartman points this out, is not only a perish on Rashi, but it's also hasagos on the Mizrahi. And this is literally, you know, 1,000 times, you know, the Ram. And again, he's much of the Ram. It's not, he doesn't say anything negative about the Mizrahi at all. He's a great, great gadol, but he's chaylek on him a lot. That's why in the Sefer that has the Mizrahi and the Guri Aryeh, you know, it's kedai to look at both. It happens to be the Mizrahi has an easier writing style. The Mizrahi is an easier Sefer to follow than the Maral, but nevertheless, they're both kedai l'yaylam, it's kedai to look at. Now, Guri Aryeh, until Rav Hartman redeemed Guri Aryeh, as he did for the other Svarim, Guri Aryeh suffered a little bit of a negative fate, even vis-a-vis the other writings of the Maral, and that is the following. If you look at, those of you that remember the standard editions of the Maral before Rav Hartman had all these annotations. So the standard editions, it's called the London edition, the Hennig edition, that's what it's called, you know, it was published by the Hennig family, I think in the 40s and 50s. They put in a lot of good stuff. They put in Mara Makomos, and they put in, Maftechos, and they put in Makoros. But they didn't do it to the Guri Aryeh. If you took the Guri Aryeh, you'll see the Guri Aryeh, which was 5 volumes in each Chumash, didn't have anything added at all. So the Guri Aryeh, even within the Kisvei Maral, even in the earlier editions, which were very improved editions, with also Mara Makomos and Maftechos, there literally was no Maftech in the Guri Aryeh. Hartman again, and of course it also was not printed with Rashi, and it was not printed with Chumash. So Rav Hartman did, yes, it's phenomenal how one person can do this. I mean, he's putting out altogether like 40 volumes of Kisvei Maral. But what Rav Hartman did was, some things were simple. He simply put the Guri Aryeh in with Chumash, Unkelus, and Rashi. That already is a big deal. And then, of course, the Iker was the Mara Makaimus, the Maftechos, the other references, the Divrei Torah, Aniyim, B'Makom Echad, Ashir, B'Makom Echad. All right, so that's so the Guri Aryeh now is something that's available. And by the way, you can get it for free on HebrewBooks.org. I don't know how that works, but the whole 6 volumes of the Guri Aryeh.
The way it works, and I've used HebrewBooks that once it's out of, once the copyright is up, you're allowed to use it.
Personal use,
not. Not for resale or anything.
No, I understand, but I don't know why the copyright, I mean, if Harpen's farm or not, copyrights are many, many years. The old Guri Aryeh may not have a copyright.
I have someone who uses it professionally, and they told me that he's seen many times if something goes up with it, still in copyright, they take it down immediately.
Yeah, I understand, but I think with the partner must be again. It's in the Diva's leg that I think he's right, wants to make it available.
He's okay with it.
Yeah, but it's Mamish amazing. Yeah, he must be okay. But it's amazing. You can get and not all of his swarm are there, but the whole Guri Aryeh is there. Mamish for free, and this is what it looks like. for personal use. That's why I didn't make you a copy because I didn't want to be over on the terms of use, but I'll try to find out if. But you can do it yourself. Just ebookbooks.org, look for Guri Aryeh and the like. But Rav Hartman points out an interesting point. He says that besides the fact that, you know, it didn't have its Mara Makaimus, it didn't have the Shippurim, there was another issue with Guri Aryeh, because Guri Aryeh is unusual for the Maral because it combines two different things, and often the people who like one thing don't like the other thing. Some people are philosophers. Some people like the tiefkeit of the Hashkafa of Agadita. But they get bored with technical pshat, in other words, in which you have diktuk and the yukim in words, etc. So they like the Maral's general svarim that talk about the machshavos. But in Gur Aryeh, he'll spend a lot of time on pshat, that this word means this, and this is a lashon zachar, and this is a lashon akeva, and this is a pl, and this is a kal, etc. So people who are philosophers don't like that stuff. And then the other side, you have balei pshat, you know, people who like to be medayek in the words of the Chumash and to understand zachar and akeva, right, the diktuk rashis, right, a lot of people don't learn the diktuk rashis, unfortunately. In fact, we should give a course in the diktuk rashis. That would be, Rabbi Jacob could think about that would be a worthwhile endeavor to do. By the way, especially if you're going to go into chinuch, I mean, one should know it anyway, but certainly if you're teaching. Oh, did you have it? Yeah, really? Ah, oh, okay. You should have told me. I would have run myself. But, so in a sense, like this, the Balei Machshava kept away from the Gur Aryeh because it was too much pshat and diktuk, and the Balei Pshat and Diktuk came away from the Gur Aryeh because it was too much Maral Machshava. But the point is that itself makes the Sefer very valuable because it gives you something of everything. And because it's on Rashi, it tends to be short shtiklich. In other words, if you don't understand something, sometimes if you're in Tiferes Yisrael and you have an essay or a perek that's 20 pages, you know, if you're lost, you're lost. You know, it's like Mayim Shein Lahem Sof, you know, you're drowning here, you don't know how to get out. With the Gur Aryeh, the Nechama is, okay, I'll have the next pasuk in 5 lines, you know, so I don't understand this, I can go weiter. So in a way, it's a very good hakdama to Maral, because you get it in smaller shtiklach. That, by the way, that's also the mile of the Chidushi Agada. The Chidushi Agada, which is directly on the Agada of the Gemara, tends to be short shtiklach. So you can kind of get it in a chunk, and then you're ready for the longer svarim.
Harbin's done that too.
Say again? He didn't get to that yet. I'm very excited. I'm really looking forward to when he gets to it. That's kind of the last thing he didn't do. He didn't get to the Chidushi Agada yet. But he did the big swarm. He did all the big swarm. And Gur Aryeh was his first, and also his maftechas are phenomenal. I mean, he took. I did the Or Chadash is the Maral and Megillas Esther. The Or Chadash is a small sefer. The Or Chadash is probably 50 pages. Rav Hartman did it in 3 big volumes. Each volume is 500 pages. All right. So 2 of the volumes are the actual chibur. So he took 50 pages. He made 1,000 pages. Okay. Volume 3, which is like 600 pages, is only a mafteach. So this is an example of an index that's much bigger than the book. It's a little unusual, but he managed it. Gargantuan mafteach on the Or Chadash of Megillas Esther. Okay. So today what I want to do with you is I want to go over actually a very, very interesting shtickle from the Gur Aryeh in Parshas Vayigash. I mentioned some of it, a little bit of it, Friday night. And this, in the Olam HaTorah, this is a famous shtickel, mainly because the Ketzais brings part of it in the Hakdama. So the same way we say, you know a pasuk because you saw it in the Taisus that quoted a Gemara. This is actually not quite as bad. This is a Maral that people know because it's in the Hakdama of the Ketzais. But there's a lot that the Ketzais does not bring that it's kedai to look at, and this is going in Parshas Vayigash. We have a listing of the Shivim Nefesh that came to Mitzrayim. Right, Yocheved was number 70, and it gives the Yichus of Reuven, the Yichus of Shimon. So with Shimon, it says after it gives Reuven's Yichus, it says Ubnei Shimon Yimuel V'Yamin V'Ohad V'Yachin V'Tzochar. Right, these are his sons, and the last son that's mentioned is Shaul ben Hakananis, Shaul, the daughter of the Canaanite woman, and that's the only child in this whole list who is described as ben Hakananis. So Rashi says that Kananis does not mean a Canaanite non-Jewish woman, but Kananis means Dina bas Yaakov. And she is called a Kananis because she was Niv'eles, right? She was forcibly raped by a Canaanite, by Shechem ben Hamor, And the Rashi Lashon is, again, it's quoting the Medrash Rabbah, Lo Haisa Dina Raitza, Lopsais Ad Shenishba La Shemain Sheyisa Ena. That Dina was so humiliated, she was so devastated, that she refused to leave her house. She would not, she remained in total isolation until Shimon made a promise that Shimon would marry her. And therefore, this is what Chazal's Kabbalah, we'll talk about sister, that'll be the Maral Zerichas, that Chazal have a Messiah, that indeed Shimon married Dina. By the way, they also say, there's another medrash, you know, Yosef, right, the Torah says Yosef married Osnas. There's a Chazal that actually says Osnas was a child that Dina had from Shechem who was abandoned. So Yosef actually married his niece, which is actually, that's not a halachic problem, but Shimon is going to be a problem. So the Maral makes two points. The Maral makes a point that the emes is that there is a machloikis in the Medrash generally who the Shvatim married. There is a mandiyamer that says that even though Avram was mashpia Yitzchak, or Avram was revealed Yitzchak not to take a wife mibnei Saknani, and obviously Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov didn't marry Kananias, but there is a mandiyamer that says the Shvatim married Kananias. So the Maral first bevorns like this. The Maral says, What's Rashi's hechrich, so to speak, or what's the Medrash's hechrich? If I learned, Taka, that the Shvatim would never have married Canaanite women because they were over the Avodah Zarah, so I understand why Kananias has to be Dina. But if I say that the Shvatim married Kananias, then why can't I say that Shimon married a Kananias? So you might want to learn, Mimela, the Maral Bavorns, that Rashi's comment only goes like the Mandi Amar, that the Shvatim didn't marry Kananias, and that was his hechrich. But the Maral says, lav davka, because he says the following. He says, let's look at it the other way. Let's learn that the Shvatim were allowed to marry Kananias. Ebazai, the Maral says, Mistama, this wasn't the only one, so why would it say it here? In other words, it could be all of the kids came from Kananias. Elamai, the Maral says, so even like that Mandi Yomar, there must be something special and unique about this mention, and Memela Chazal say it's Dina, and therefore the Maral's first Tanakha is that this Machloka, that this Dina, not this Din, this Medrash that Rashi brings is not Toloi on the Machlokes. If the Shvatim married Kananias, either way, whether they did or whether they didn't, this mention of Kananias would be Dina. Now, the Maral then proceeds to ask Akasha, and that is the following. L'chaira, Shimon and Dina are brother and sister. They are brother and sister not only from the same father, which is Yaakov, but Papashtis, although I'll mention the Targum Yonasan on this, which Maral doesn't mention, but Papashtis, Shimon and Dina are brothers from the same mother because they both come from Leah. Now, the Maral's first kasha is not that the Yavos kept the Torah Shelo Nitni. He's asking a more basic kasha. Even if before Matan Torah, they didn't have to keep the Torah, but Vadai, before Matan Torah, they had to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach. So if they had to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach, one of the Isurei Arayas for B'nei Nayach is Achaisai Min Ha'em. Now this is very important. For B'nei Nayach, Achaisai Min Ha'av is Mutter. You could marry a sister from the same father. For B'nei Nayach, not for a Yid. But for B'nei Nayach, there's a heter of Achaisai Min Ha'av, but there's not a heter of Achaisei Minoheim. So, Alstine B'nei Nayach, how could Shimon marry Dina? Now, let me just stop there with a digression. I'm going to tell you something right now that is not from the Maral. And that is, we have in modern day times, we have the phenomenon of surrogate mothers. That's where one woman gives the egg that gets fertilized in vitro. Let's say a husband and wife. Let's say a woman, she doesn't have a rechem. She doesn't have a uterus. But she does ovulate. So one of these medical aces, medical, I'm not saying halachically you're allowed to do it, but one of the medical aces is that you have the husband's zera fertilizes the wife's egg in vitro fertilization, and then there's a third party woman who carries. Might be a guy, might be a Jew, and in theory, might be married, might not be married. But one of the ikar shilas in halacha, in terms of surrogacy, is who is considered to be the mother? Is the mother the egg donor that contributes the genetic material, or is the mother the birth mother? Big machlokes. Shlomo Zalman actually paskins, it's a sveika d'dina. And you have to be machmir on both studim. Now, this is very nogea a lot of things. For example, if the surrogate is not Jewish, Does the child need gerus and the like? So some early, surrogacy is now around 30 years old. It's been around already, but it's 30 years old. But some of the early tshuvas about surrogacy, they brought in a very fascinating Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Because the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that, in fact, when Leah was pregnant with her 11th child, with the 12th child, her 11th child, yeah. When Leah was pregnant with the person who became Dina, she was actually pregnant with Yosef, and Rachel was pregnant with Dina, and Leah didn't want Rachel to be Mavuzah, because if Leah would have had Yosef, that only would have left one Shevet for Rachel, and she would be inferior to the Bnei HaShavachas. So the Targum Yonasan says she was Mispalel, and the Ubrais were Nischalfais. Meaning to say, Leah was carrying Yosef, and it went into Rachel's body, and Rachel was carrying Dina, and it went into Leah's body. Now, if you say, like this, I'm trying to fend for the Maral's Kasha here, if you say that the Iker definition of maternity is based on the egg donor, then it turns out, genetically, Dina was not Shimon's sister from the mother, because Dina's mother was, in fact, Rachel. And als Dinei b'nei Nayach, if it's only Aser Achaisei Minayim, Dina and Shemain was Achaisai min ha'av. You see? So, based on Targum Yonasan, there actually might be a teretz for the Maral. But again, the Maral does not bring this Targum Yonasan, and the
like. How would Shemain know that?
Huh?
How would
Shemain know that? Yeah, okay, that's another kasha. Okay, but Ruach HaKadosh, whatever. Okay.
L'shitasai, the Maral wouldn't bring it, no?
Say again?
L'shitasai, the Maral wouldn't bring it.
Yeah, what
why are you bringing the Targum Yonasan, which isn't necessarily based on Chazal?
Okay. I mean, that depends who Targum Yonasan is.
Okay.
Now, it is Emes, actually. You are actually right that many say that Targum Yonasan al Hatayra is not from the Tana Yonasan ben Uziel. That's an important point, because the Gemara in Megillah says that Targum Yonasan, that Yonasan ben Uziel only wrote a Targum on Nevi'im. Guess what the Gemara says? Targum shel Taira, Uncle is Hager Amrei, Targum shel Nevi'im, Yonasan ben Uziel. I open up in Mikrais Gedolais and I see Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. The answer is, many say that that's not Yonasan ben Uziel. It's a Targum Yerushalmi, but still, it's from the time of Chazal. So, again, you have a Shaila generally. What's the status of those Targum? Okay.
We say that Leah was also about Ruach HaKodesh, so how she knew that Ruach shouldn't be in the Vaz.
Yeah, it's hard for us to know, but obviously there were all Nevi'im, so certainly it would be shy. Okay. But be it as it may, the Maral does not bring it in, maybe because he didn't consider it authoritative. So the Frekta Maral, how could Shimon marry Dina? It's Achaisei Minayim. Achaisei Minayim is Aser Livnei Nayach. So Zakta Maral, Dachman Zogin, that this Medrash is going like the Mandi Omar in Sanhedrin, that by a Ben Nayach there's no Isser of Achaisei at all, even Achaisei Minayim, which is a Machlekes, which means to say, the Mandi Omar that Asher's Achaisei Minayim is going to have to learn that Kanainis means Kanainis Mamish. In other words, it's totally on that machlokes. Okay. But now the Maral asks a second kasha. And the second kasha is not so pashut, and this is where you have a bigger arichas. Okay. So granted, marrying achaisai was not a violation of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. It's a davar pashut, it would certainly be a violation of the Torah, which was given later. Now, this is before Matan Torah, and neither the Avos nor the Shvatim are mitzvah in these mitzvahs, but we have a Messiah that Chazal tell us, that from the time of Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu is Kiyem es kol ha-Torah kula ad shalei nitna, and we have other Makairis that Yitzchak did it, that Yaakov did it, so the Maral assumes the Shvatim followed in the Mahalchim of the Avos. So this is a shver kasha, and in fact Targum Yonison doesn't answer this either, because Targum Yonison may have eliminated the achaisim in Ain, but you cannot deny the fact that Shimon and Dina are sisters from the same father, and that's Vaday Yosser, right? Isha sheikach es achaisei bas oviv oy bas imay. So Frekta Maral, what about our problem that the Avos kept the whole Torah Shalei Nitna? How could Shimon possibly marry Dina? And then, of course, he enlarges this to ask the same kasha. How could Yaakov marry two Ochiyos, right? Yaakov married two sisters. Good. Under Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that's not a problem, for sure. But after the Torah would be given, that would be Usher. The Avos kept the whole Torah Shalei Nitna. Now, he brings, in this connection, a teretz of the Ramban, which he doesn't like. He's very makaser. He doesn't say why he doesn't like it. Ramban asks this kasha, not by Dina. The Ramban asks the kasha, Eich Nosa Yaakov, Beis Ochias. And the Ramban's answer is that the principle that the Avos kept the whole Torah Shalei Nitna is only when they were living in Eretz Yisrael. Now that's the teretz by Yaakov. It's not even so clear how it's going to work here. Because when they were Beheichel HaMelech, when they were Beheichel HaMelech, they were Zohir in all of the mitzvos even before the Zman came. When they were not living in Eretz Yisrael, they were not Makbit on keeping all of the mitzvos. Memela, Yaakov married the Ochiyos when he was in Padan Aram. Once he married them, so even when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he's not Mechuyev to divorce them. But the Ramban points out that we see that Rachel died very shortly after they came to Eretz Yisrael, because it could be that on their Madrega they were already keeping these mitzvahs. So the second wife, by the way, you see now an interesting chak, that who dies? The second wife. In other words, when you're not allowed to live with a woman and her sister, so when Rachel gave the simanim to Leah, it wasn't just she got married a week later, that's all that was, but she was also Mechayev herself Misa when they came back to Eretz Yisrael. And if Rachel knew that, you see an extra dimension of Mesiras Nefesh. This is a famous Yisayit of the Ramban. It's not clear to me that the Ramban's Teretz would fan for Shimon, because the Pashtus is Shimon married Dina in Eretz Yisrael after the Maisa of Shechem. So even the Ramban's Teretz is a good Teretz for Yaakov. It's not necessarily a good Teretz for Shimon, but the Maral doesn't like the Ramban at all, because the Ramban, I mean, the Maral's kinda here is, well, Mimanavshach. Arayais are not a mitzvah to Luya Bioritz. After Matan Torah, we certainly aren't gonna say that there's an issue of Arayais only in Eretz Israel. So Mimelo, the Ramban considers it to be a daichik, that if the Avos want to live on the Madrega Satira, then they should follow the way the Torah says. The Torah says, "Arayas arnayeg, bein biyaras, bein b'chutzlot." Again, I mean, you could fanfare. I mean, you could argue about this. You could say, "Well, okay, it's one thing when the Torah is machayev you, the Torah is machayev you." But since they're doing it on a voluntary basis, right? There is no chiyuv here, so one can understand that the voluntary kabbalah. Okay, but the Maral's taina. In terms of the Maral, is he doesn't like the Ramban. He likes the Ramban generally, but he doesn't like this Ramban, because he tells that Mimanavshach, if it's not Tuluya Bioretz, it's not Shaykh to say that they didn't keep. Now, Derech Agav, there's a kasha they ask on the Ramban. The Maral does not mention it, although it'll be a kasha on him later. The Maral mentions this kasha, I'm sorry, not the Maral. The Chassam Sofer mentions the kasha on the Ramban, that when Yaakov is coming back from all of his years with Lavan, and he meets Esav, the Yishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav, So Yaakov says, "Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan." And the famous Rashi, that Garti are the same letters as Taryag. It says, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. So Frek the Chassam Sofer, according to the Ramban, that the Avos kept the whole Torah at Shalei Nitna, only when they lived in Eretz Yisrael. So how could Yaakov Avinu say that his sojourn in Lavan's house is Taryag Mitzvahs Shamarti? So the Chassam Sofer says a beautiful pshat. He says like this. He says, what's the taich of Shamarti? So we think Shamarti means I observed them, I kept them. That would be Shver on the Ramban. He says no. Shamarti is the same meaning as the pasuk by Yosef, that when Yosef told Yaakov his chalomos, so it says Vayikanu Bayachov, the brothers were jealous. The Aviv Shamares Hadavar, the father kept those words. Rashi says there, Shamares Hadavar is Yeshev Umetzape. Yaakov is waiting and hoping. Halvai that Yosef should be Eilel Nigdula. So Zakta Chassam Sofer, beautiful. When Rashi brings the Medrash, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, he is interpreting the word Shamarti the same way Aviv Shamar Sadabar. In other words, Yaakov is saying, yes, I was in Laban's house, maybe I wasn't able to keep Taryag Mitzvah. But for all the years I was there, I was Yeshev Mitzape. I was hoping and yearning, when will I come back to Eretz Yisrael? And so it's Gevaldik. So Shamarti does not mean I was doing it, but it means I was Yeshev Mitzape. Say again?
He's not arguing with the Ramban.
Who's no arguing? What do we know?
No,
the Chassam Sofer is answering the Ramban. Yeah. The Maral is the Chassam Sofer is Miyash of the Ramban. That's exactly right. Yeah, okay. So, huh? So I'm going over the Maral. Okay, this is Maral. Okay, all right. So our kasha once again is: how could Shimon marry Dina if the others kept the whole Torah? And Derech Agav, how could Yaakov marry two sisters? Ramban's teretz, Eretz Yisrael versus Chutzlof, which is not really a teretz for Shimon; it's only a teretz for Yaakov. Maral doesn't like it because he says, "Arayas or not, mitzvah to Liya Biyaretz." Second teretz Maral gives is what you just said, and that is that we have a klal by Geiris, Ger Sheniskayer, Kikatan Shenayla Dami. When a person is Megayer, it erases all of the previous relationships. Min HaTaira, that actually means. Abu Bitei, that are Megayer. Father can marry Bitei, Min HaTaira, Midraban and Isasar. Mother and son. Right, they could get married, brother and sister, they could get married, Gersh and Iskayer. The reason why the Chacham Amaser is, Shalo Yaimru, Banu Mikdusha Chamura Likdusha Kala. Because when I was a guy, I had standards, I had morality. Now that I'm a Jew, I can do anything. So that wouldn't be, correct to look at Yiddishkeit as a way out of things. So Mamela Chazal were Geyser, Al Schulul Hashem, that it's Usher. But Mikar Din, it's Mutter. So the Maral Tain is the following. The Maral Tain is, that since this is Kaidem Matan Torah, so both the Shvatim and anybody they married were not Noilda with a Chiyuv Mitzvah. They were not born into a Chiyuv. They were Makabalit on themselves. Now again, it didn't require, other than Mila, which is given to Avram, it didn't necessarily require going to the Mikvah. That wasn't the Halacha of Geiris. But since their Shaychus to the Torah came through their Kabbalah, it wasn't a chiyuv, they were not nailed a b'chiyuv, so everybody has the status of geirin, and al sger shenis gayer, katan shenayla dami. Now, what's interesting is this, it's interesting, in a sense, this is easier to hear with Yaakov marrying Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah were born into idolatrous homes, they embraced the faith of Emunah and Hashem, so we can look at Rachel and Leah as geirin. But you have to see that the Maral is going beyond that. The Maral is not only saying Rachel and Leah are Geirim, Shimon and Dina are Geirim. That's a stickler chiddush. Even though Shimon and Dina were born from the Avos and the Imais. But he says, since they didn't have a chiyuv to keep the Torah, so even the people who were born Jewish, you might say, have this, as, see, the belt often says this teretz for Yaakov and the two Achias, but it's important to know, the Maral says this teretz for Shimon and Dina Mamish, that they also have a din of Gerim, Gerish and Iskar, Katan Shanel Dami.
They haven't done anything to Pula to make them Gerim.
Well, again, you have to understand, I mean, what Geirus meant then didn't necessarily mean you go in front of a based in, but it meant... What stage? When they decided they would keep the Torah. Well, maybe when they're bar mitzvah, I mean, when they make their own Kabbalah, you know, they're mechudah. Chazal, no, he does not keep... That is a chiddush. That's correct. Although, let me just see if he brings a marker for this. Now, the thing is this, though. The Maral then asks Akasha, and this is the part that the Ketzais brings. The Maral says, if you're telling me that when a person is not Noel de Bechiev and he's Makabal Mitzvahs, it's Gerish and Iskar Kachin Noel Adami, so he says, what about Matan Taira itself? Right? We know that Matan Taira Gufa is considered to be a Geiris of Am Yisrael. In fact, the Gemara in Yavamas learns out the halachas of Geiris from Matan Torah. Ma aveisenu nichnesu b'mila. Mila is a Mitzrayim. And tvila, chibsusim losam, includes tvila sagok. And kabbalas hamitzvahs, which is nasa nishma. And zirika sadam, because it was man hamikdash only. A ger is nichnas the geris only with a korban. Moshe Rabbeinu is zayrek, the dam of eilus and shlamim. So the whole halachas of geris are learned out of matan taira. Matan taira is a din geris. So frekta maral e bazai. All of the Jews who converted at matan taira, there shouldn't be an iser erva. Should be allowed. Av should marry bitai. Aim should marry benai. Benah. Ach and achais. The only Arias that would be Chal on that first generation would be Eshesish, Nida, but not the Arias of Korva. And would only be the children born afterwards. Now, the emesis, I mentioned Friday, that the Meshech Chachma, who doesn't bring this morale, actually says, Einach Nami, he says, Vivalt Matan Tairis Geiris, the Arias are Mutter. So the Meshech Chachma says it for a Dabra Pashit, the morale says, it's not Yitochein, because Lo Motzinu is such a kula, and Fakert, we find that the Yidden were crying, they were complaining, and among the things they were complaining was all of these Isurim of Arayas, etc. Bachul Mishpachaisav, Al Iske Mishpachaisav, Vaistachais the Isur of Arayas, unless they're crying about their kids, all of the Isur of Arayas seem to be Chal right away. So the Maral brings an important Yisai. This is actually, again, in the Ketzais. The Maral says that the Geiris of Matan Taira is different than every other Geiris. All other Geiris, whether it's the Geiris Bizman HaTeh, or the Geiris of Bnei Yaakov, or Yaakov, that is a Geiris Midaitai. That's a voluntary decision. When you make a voluntary change of life, on that I say, Gershon Iskayer, Kekatan, Shenayla Dami. But the Geiris of Matan Taira, I'm just going to first tell you the words of the Maral, the Geiris of Matan Taira is a Geiris Bal Korcha, because it says, Kofa Aleihem Har Kegigas. On a Geiris Bal Korcha, the Maral is Mechadesh, you don't say, Ger, Sheniskayer, Kekatan Shenaylad Domi. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is, as a mathematician would say, a set of only one unit, because the only Geiris Bal Korcha you have is Matan Torah. Mizman Hazeh, there's no such thing as a Geiris Bal Korcha, but Lu Yisur, you would invent a Musuk of a Geiris Bal Korcha, I would not say Gerish and Iskayer, Kekatan Shenaylad Domi, and the one example we have is that of Matan Torah. Actually, the truth is, it's not so emes. There might be a musig of Tfilas Abadim. That's really a machlekes. You know, if I buy a goy, yeah, it's a mistake people make. Huh? Well, I mean, if I buy a goy to be my eved, he's not an Eved Kanani yet, meaning to say he's not Chayiv in Mitzvah Ke'isha. There has to be a Mila, and there has to be a Tevila L'Shem Avdus. If I don't do that within a year, I have to give him back. I'm not allowed to keep a Goy as my servant unless the Goy has Mila and Tevila L'Shem Avdus. But there is a Machlekes, it's very interesting, it's not so Pashut, that you can impose the Mila and Tevila Bal Korcha. Some Rishonim actually learn, which is kind of an interesting way of how an Eved can get out of being your Eved. Some Rishonim learn that even Mitzad Abdus, the Kabbalah Smith, the Mila and the Tevila, is a Geiris that requires consent. So if the guy refuses to go, you're going to have to let him go. Now, it doesn't mean you free him. If he was a slave, you can sell him and get your money back, you know, so to speak. But others learn that Kol Zman he's an Eved. If he's your Eved, the Mila and the Tefila can even be Bal Korcha. How are you going to do it? It's going to be a problem, but you can actually, you know, stick him under the water there. So then you do actually have a Hechi Timtza of a type of Geirus Bal Korcha. Yeah.
But they throw in also over here the Rambam by Hechaz Gershon, no?
Well, the Maharal doesn't say, but then I'll be Masber. Okay. So now the question is exactly what is the Svar of the Maharal? The Maharal gives you a very, very fascinating Yesite. That's a good Yesite. That when it's Kafaleim Har Kigigis, you don't say Gershon Iskayer Kekatan Shnei LaDami. But what's the Vort? So part of the Hesber is this: that when a person chooses to become a new person, so he's cutting off his old identity. I'm choosing to become somebody else. So that's why I say, Gershon Iskayer, Kekatan Shnei LaDami. Now, the concept of a forced Geiris means this. The Eibishter is really telling Am Yisrael that you have to accept the mitzvahs, not because you're changing your mitzvahs, but because that's your taka, your inner mitzvahs. Your inner mitzvahs is this kesher to the Torah. So, it's a beautiful thought. Memela, it's not shaykh to say, I'm such a geiris, I'm cutting off my past. Pumfakert, I'm becoming who I am. Memela, that's what the Maharal means. When the geiris is bikfia, it's because it's not keneged your teva. It's not being meshana your teva. It is who you are, right? It's important, hasaga generally, that a yid's connection to Torah is not mi bachutz, but it's bifnim. This is why Chazal say, before a child is born, the Malach teaches the child Torah, and then he gets hit on the lip, and the kid forgets everything. So why do you bother teaching him? He's going to forget. I mean, what's the purpose? The answer is, you imprint the Torah on his neshama. So he forgets all the information. He doesn't know anything. But it's a chelek of who he is. So memela, there's a deja vu when he gets exposed to Torah. It's already something that he's connected to. Right, so that's the Maharal's Yesod. So that's Teretz number one he gives. So Teretz number one to for both Shimon and Yaakov marrying two Achiyos is Gershon Iskayer, and then he's Machalek between that Geiris and the Geiris of Matan Torah. Now Teretz number two might be a little disappointing, but the Maharal actually seems to consider it the Zikr Teretz. And he says the following. He says that since the kiyum of the avos of the Torah is obviously al pi ruach hakodesh, who told them what the Torah said? Who told them all of these mitzvahs? There was no maimed har Sinai. It's only through their kayach of ruach hakodesh and nevuah. So he says, hapesha aser pesha hitir, any deviation of the avos from the Torah was al pi the same ruach hakodesh that told them what the mitzvah was in the first place. And we find that a Navi could be Iker Doverman Atayra as a Horash Shah. So he says like this. He says, if Yaakov would have married, now let's say Yaakov married Rachel and Leah, because the Chachmohel Yaina was Nigzar in Shamayim, that was the Zivug from which Am Yisrael comes. If Yaakov would have married another two sisters in addition, he Varai would have been Iver on the Torah, because in other words, it's not that Yaakov didn't have that mitzvah. Yaakov was makabel all the mitzvahs, but Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitcher, so to speak, that Ruach HaKadosh would be a matra. Now, we don't know the Seder. By the way, he makes the same point, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Amram. Amram married Kahas's sister. Yochebed was Kahas's sister, right? So that's an Isser Erva of Achais Ovid, right? Same thing. In fact, the Ibn Ezra makes the point, it's horrendous to say, that had the same thing happened after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu himself would have been a mamzer. Maybe we shouldn't even say the word like that. I mean, al-pidin. If one lives with Achais Ima, that's mamzeris. Kaida Matan Torah. Now, but the Maral makes the point, he doesn't really tell us why, because maybe he didn't know why. He says, it's not, there's a heter. Why would Hashem give a heter? But rather, that in the Chochmah HaElyona of how the Klal Yisrael has to be Nishabe, it had to come this way. So it's not Akasha, they kept the whole Torah. They kept the whole Torah Baruch HaKadosh, and when there are heterim, that was Al-Pi Ruach HaKadosh Gufa, and the Maral actually uses the Lashon, HaPesha Aser, Pesha Hiter. They know it from Ruach HaKadosh, that it's Aser. They know it from Ruach HaKadosh, the Isser doesn't happen. It reminds me a little bit, although it's apropos of nothing, it's not in the Maral at all, but it just reminds me, you know, the Brisker Rav was very, very makbit that about Hechel Shlomo. You know Hechel Shlomo? It used to be the seat of the Rabbanut, and it says, usher to go in, usher to walk by, the Brisker Rav was mamish, put a chayrim on people who entered the building, Hechel Shlomo. Now when Rabbi Yashiv was a dayan, that's where the Beis Din used to be. I mean, he was in Hechel Shlomo every day. In fact, that was a problem even when Rav Chaim Konevsky married Rabbi Yashiv's daughter. You know, some people casting aspersions on the shidduch, violating the Brisker Rav's chayrim. So they asked Rabbi Yashiv, like, why are you? The stipler asked him, like, why are you hanging around Hechel Shlomo all the time? So Rabbi Yashiv said, he says he spoke to the Brisker Rav, obviously, he says, the Brisker Rav didn't mean me. He said, no, because the reason was, there had to be a cheshman that on the butt they did, you had to have a gadol and a talmud chacham to be matzel and mamzeris. He didn't mean me. So the same thing here. There's an Isser of shtei achiyos, but it didn't include Rachel and Leah. Didn't mean me. Now, once the Torah is given, there's an Indian of Loba Shemayim. See, this is an important point. Loba Shemayim doesn't allow those types of exceptions, except Harasha. But before Matan Torah, everything is functioning based on prophecy. It's a different type of Hiskalos. If everything is functioning on prophecy, so yeah, the Chachma HaElyona will have different Cheshbonos. That's the Maral's second test, which he considers to be very, very fundamental. He says, even though we don't fully understand the operations of Hashgacha. Yeah?
The fact that it was a mistake with marrying Leah.
Well, again, Mitzad Yaakov it was a mistake, but he says Mitzad the Hashgacha it was not a mistake, that Klal Yisrael had to be Nivne from both. And in fact, Leah is the Akeres Abayah, so it's be hard to say. You know, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu used the mistake. Now, the third teretz he gives, which I'll hold over a little bit, but I just want to mention it b'kitzer, is a very, very interesting teretz, and he has a gewaldige raya, but I'll save the raya for next time. And that is, he says that when we say the Avos kept the whole Torah, except for Avraham Avinu that kept everything, maybe it only meant they kept mitzvos aseh, and they didn't have to keep mitzvos leisaseh. And itayin is like this. He says, a mitzvos asay is maisif kedusha. So even if you're not a mitzvah, that's why we find by nashim. Nashim are not chayavos in a mitzvos asay shazan grammar, like lulos and shayfer. But if they do it, they're makablos sechar. And indeed, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramah Paskin, a woman even makes a bracha. Okay, the Beis Yosef and the Rambam say they don't make a bracha, but even they hold there's an inyan of an ein mitzvah v'yaisa. Now, on a leisaseh, the Maral makes the point, there is pashut no inyan of an ein mitzvah v'yaisa. I mean, let's imagine like this. Let's imagine I'm not a Kohen. And somebody gives me a gewaldige shidduch with a grusha, who's a perfect woman, a tzadekes, perfect, perfect. But she was divorced. So, okay, maybe it's a bad example because a person might have cheshbonus, but let's say a person's cheshbon is, well, the Torah says a Kohen can't marry a Grusha, and I'm not a mitzvah, but I want to do the mitzvah of not marrying a Grusha to be Makayim, the Inyan of an Eino Mitzvah v'yaisa. That's a very bizarre thing. Aye, what do you mean? We tell a woman she could take a lulav to take a sukkah. Zakta marau. An asay is maisif kedusha to your neshama. So even if you're not commanded, there's an inyan of being mashlim your neshama. A laisasa doesn't add kedusha to you. Rather, when you're over on a laisasa, you lose kedusha. Meaning, let's take a graphic, let's take a simple example. Let's say your kedusha index Monday morning is 10. And all of Monday morning, I didn't kill anybody, I didn't steal, I didn't commit adultery. At the end of the day, I'm still only a 10. If I would have killed, I'd go down to a 0. So a laisasa is not maisif kedusha. If you're over on a laisasa, it's poches kedusha. An asay is maisif kedusha. So zakta marau, since a laisasa is not maisif kedusha, it's rather if you're over on it, you're poches. You're poches only because you're going keneged the ratzon Hashem. When there's no tzivoy, it has no effect on you. Therefore, the Maral says, the fact that when there was no tzivoy, the others were over on arayis, is not a stira, because the union of kiyin kolotera kula is going on mitzvah sasei, which are maisef pekedusha, and not leisasei. Now, there's going to be some more to talk about this, because but what about the statement, taryag mitzvah shamarti? Even like the Chazam said, taryag includes both asay and leisas. Right, so we'll have to hold it over. But this chilek from Maral has some very, very beautiful rayas. Now he does say, Avram Avinu was yachidu miyuchid. He says, Avram Avinu was yachidu miyuchid, that he had a sheiches to kol ha-tayrakula, but that was lav dafka for the other avos and for the other shvatim. That's why even by Avraham Avinu we ask kashas of chema v'chalav, and that's why he served them chema first, right? The milchik and then the pleishik, right? But he says you're only mechayev to give those terutzim for Avraham Avinu. You're not mechayev to give those terutzim for Yaakov, and you're not mechayev to give those terutzim for Shimon kal v'chaymer, for Shimon and Dina. We have a chilek, right? So these are the three terutzim of the Maral. One is geirus. Right, the Ramban was one terrorist, but he didn't like the Ramban. One was Geirus, one was Ruach HaKadosh, Pesha Asar, and the third is the Chiluk between Asay and Loisa.
We don't say Mitzvah
Not on the Loisa, that's what we say. There's no Mitzvah on the Loisa.
You just wrote the Pesha Asar, is
that similar to the Ramban? Yeah, that's the Ruach HaKadosh.